Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us on the David and Corby Extravaganza Show. Now, the people who were not listening to Corby's show, which is right before mine, Empower Readings with Corby Metlide, won't know that she just interviewed me on her show, and now I'm going to interview her on my show, and we'll get right to that in a couple of minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which I wanted to use to just reiterate part of why I love doing this show and what I like to do with the interviews. Most people see somebody like me or Corby and say, "You're amazing. You must have done this since you were a child. You must have." They have all kinds of ideas of how simple it was for us to somehow get to where we are after 25 or 30 years of doing this work. And the truth is, there may be an underlying talent, but without working with that talent, without finding good teachers, without going through various struggles and challenges and all the bumps that in the road, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, you don't get to be an incredible baseball or football player or musician or anything else unless you have talent, you have good teachers, and you practice a lot. And you go through a lot of struggles. My daughter's a dancer. It's the same thing in dance. It's a lot of work. We threatened to make a T-shirt that said dance. If it was easier, it would be called football. It's hard work. There's a lot to it. And what I love to do with these interviews is find out not only what someone does and what their understanding is of their work, but how they got there. So, without much more ado, and because it's way too much fun to talk to Corby rather than talking by myself, because we're having a great time, I'd like to introduce Corby Metlide.
So, hello, Corby, darling.
Hello, how are you? And everybody should Everybody yes. should know we both grew up in the greater New York area, and every once in a while we lapse into these accents. Who knows who we're channeling?
Ed, that's the big thing. Actually, I'm South Jersey, not North Jersey. They're two different planets. Let's get it straight.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
that's true.
So, hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for being here.
And you're welcome.
So, I know a little tiny bit about your work, but how would you describe your work?
Well, I am not here, as I often say, to play Madam Hoo-Ha or Swami Swalanda. I don't want to tell you that you're going to meet a guy with blue eyes and a limp in a bar. I don't go there. My stuff is, here are your opportunities. Here's how to grab them. Here's the tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here is your toolbox. Go rock and roll. And I do this several ways. I'm a certified professional tarot reader. I've been reading since I was 18. I'm 56. I do spirit guide conferences. Past lives are a specialty. As a matter of fact, I'm involved in Robert Schwartz's book, Your Soul's Plan, as one of the four mediums who channeled it. And yes, I talk to dead people, otherwise known as mediumship. But I do it a little differently than a lot of folks. If you go to someplace like Lilydale, which is the spiritualist community, they will just reach out and, you know, pluck whoever happens to be hanging out in the bleachers. I find it's way too easy to fool people that way unless you're really good. You know, I see a woman in a flower dress handing you a rose. It's your grandmother. Oh, please. So I ask for their dog tags to make sure I'm getting that person. And the dog tags are simple. Their name, who they were to you, how old they were when they died, and the year. Example, my father, Jerome Richard Dorgan, who died at the age of 80 in 2001. That doesn't give me anything in terms of their stuff, but it tunes me into the energy. I will then tell people, this is what I'm getting. I very much will pick up the emotional style. They may say, yep, that's Aunt Gertie. And then if once I get two or three or four things that are definites, I'll open up the door and Gertie will speak through me. Sometimes it'll actually be her voice, but sometimes it'll just be that I speak what she wants to say.
Right.
And there are things like somebody was wanted to talk to their stepfather. I found myself miming a pool cue. I said, what's with a pool cue? He taught her how to play pool. They had a weekly pool day for 5 years. One of my favorites, there was a girl whose same-sex partner had passed, and it was a biracial couple. So she wanted to speak to Isabel. And all of a sudden, what comes out of my mouth is Ebonics. And it's, well, it ain't my what, bitch? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did I say? And this one is crying and go, oh, it's Isabel. I'm saying, fine, whatever. So we have to get out of the way of upstairs. I'm lucky because when people specifically want to talk to their dead people, you know, 99% of the time, even if there's stuff between them, it can get handled. These are not evil spirits. You work with more negative energies. So you can't just, if I was doing what you were doing, I would not open myself up as a translation center at all. So right. In that sense, what you do, dicier than what I do. But basically, I give the people information, but tell them it's not going to solve your life. Take it, go live with it, go make it worth something.
Right. Well, I want to get back to what you do as Endangerous, because to me, mediumship, where the voice comes through you, is very close to a voluntary possession, and that creeps me out. You know, it's letting that spirit come enough into you that they're using your voice, if not using your body. So talk a little bit about that, because, you know, every time I get anywhere close to that, I go like, yeah, no, thanks. Not for me.
Part of the reason that they can do that, I think, is because I was a theater major at Brown University, and my specialty was dialects, accents, character voices. So my larynx is very flexible, and they will sense that. So they'll ask me to do a little more than somebody else. I can always stop them. I am not so out in the trance that I cannot stop what they're doing. I still have total control, and I have my own phalanx of guides, angels, most of which, the ones that hang out with me mostly, are people that I flew with 100 years ago in the war. We had each other's backs, and we have it now. So I don't worry about it. It's also, we're not doing this in two-hour sessions. Most people will get what they want speaking to their loved one in 10 minutes, 15, half an hour at the absolute most. And I remind people, do not keep calling Aunt Gertie. Because we're not dial-a-dead. She's going to be on a field trip up there. She will not be by the phone. And there are things to do.
Right.
There are things to do. Sometimes a particular discarnate, which is how I refer to dead people, hangs out for purpose. My father was a fabulous cardiologist in New Jersey and was my best friend. And so there have been times when I've been asked to do some medical intuitive stuff. And if it's cardiac, sometimes dad will come in. Right. And that's fine, because how do I know about abnormal T waves on an electrocardiogram? I don't. But if all of a sudden I get this hit from dad, I say, point over my shoulder and say, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Dorkin. He's doing a consult with me, and just leave it at that. Then I give them this and they go, what? But I keep reminding people, I'm not a doctor. You got a problem, you go see a doctor. I'm very belt and suspenders. Do all the visualization and stuff like that, but also go see the doctor. Right. Me, I did the cancer dance 3 times. And yeah, I had the double mastectomy, but I did a lot of the mental stuff first. And I ended up getting out of the hospital in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in 5. Fastest double mast and recon recovery they'd seen at Mass General in 15 years. It wasn't all the doctor. Part of it was me. But we had to do it together. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. Yeah, one of my teachers was a Cherokee medicine man who used to say, just because you're dead doesn't make you smart. Because everybody was channeling but not asking who the entity was. And it was like, well, yeah, so you can talk to somebody. What does that prove? And so your dog tag metaphor and process is really important, knowing exactly who you're talking to and not just calling any random soul in that feels like having an audience.
Mm-mm. No, and the thing is, so many people do get rooked, I'll use that phrase, that it's important to me that they get things that I could not have known.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like they love you very much, they want to tell you that they miss you, and it's okay. That could be about Ralph the Wonder Dog. But if I get things like, this grandmother always slipped you a cookie and you both got yelled at by your mother, or there's a particular gesture that she made or something like that, that's more specific, and people deserve
right.
that.
Right.
So
how did you get here? I mean, as a kid, were you tuned into this kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
Was there some turning point? Was there some turning point where you realized this was real and you wanted to know more? What happened?
Well, first inkling started when I was 9. There was a great children's book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes. And then instead of thinking, ooh, that's scary or ha, 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 my thought was, and your point is, I knew there was stuff out in the world. I just had to go find it. Now, they do say that those of us who have a lot of metaphysical ability probably got knocked on the head as kids. Well, this was true. When I was about 5, I was sledding down the hill and headed right for a stone bench. Nobody in my family had taught me how to roll off a sled. Whack! So my father was convinced I was dead. Not even a bruise. Very hard head. But, of course, where was it? Boom, right at the third eye level. So something must have been shook loose. Fast forward to senior year in high school, 1973. I was working part-time at Spencer Gifts, haven't we all? That was the year Live and Let Die came out, and they had the James Bond 007 tarot deck, and I bought it. True story. So we were all hippies dead, so everyone had to have a deck of something. For 20 years, I just read for my friends and me, and I worked at keeping my ego out of it and stayed very clear and objective. So that all of a sudden, in 1994, when I was doing some past life investigation, because one of my own major ones had been woken up, all of a sudden I could do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. That's when I figured out God had handed me my draft notice and said, hello, you're working for me. So I hung up my shingle part-time and kept at it part-time until 9/11, when I was living with my then fiance, now husband of 9 years. And I looked in and I said, I'm going to have to do this stuff, what I do full time. People are going to get scared. They're going to need to know there's something else out there that they can do things themselves to make it better. And he just looked at me and said, I believe in you, which is what's on the inside of my wedding ring. So I worked for a year. At that point, I was being an executive recruiter. That was the 70-hour week job. I did shows on the circuit every weekend I could find, so that the following year, I just jumped off the cliff. And since then, what I do has been full-time, 6 days a week. I read about 1,500 people a year.
Wow.
And love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do what you do. Go ahead.
No, I'm always fascinated with the twists and turns and challenges. It sounds like for you it was a pretty quick transition without that sense of walkabout, where you kind of give up everything you were doing before and go out into the world not knowing what in the world you're going to do next, and then it comes together. Or maybe you did end up.
Well, I had gone through so much life crap. I did. It was not easy. 3 bouts of breast cancer, 2 divorces, the death of all 3 of my parents, my 2 bios and a stepmother I adored. Dysfunctional childhood. I really must have chosen double major plus lab, not the gut courses for this lifetime. And this was all around self-worth, sexuality, all of the things that I used to beat myself up against and about. That's why these relationship questions, I have so much background to talk about. But I had to have those challenges in order to, if you will, beat my ego into submission and learn a lot of compassion, both for myself and for my clients. Corby Mintlide is actually a reader's name. I have a legal one, which I keep for when I have to go be Mrs. Museum Director, because my husband runs an 8-building Revolutionary War site in upstate New York. Corby was chosen because it's Gaelic for raven, and ravens are my avatars. But Mitleid is German for compassion, which reminds me why I do the work. Not to have you go, oh my God, she's so amazing. But to show you that you got your own answers. You don't need to pay $6 million to get them fixed. Go do. It's one of the reasons I teach a course called Psychics 101, The Good, the Bad, and the Cleos.
Tell me more about that class.
This stemmed from the fact that a lot of people, when they walk into a psychic fair, deer in the headlights. You know, are you reading my head as I go by? No, I haven't been invited. Right. And it's what I explained to them. My reading you without permission is like your OBGYN saying hello to you at a cocktail party and lifting your skirt. Wrong venue, he wasn't invited. And it's that kind of assumption that psychics just have no boundaries that give us problems and people don't trust us. So the course gives, if you will, a mnemonic, one of those words that each letter means something. And then the 7 keys on how to choose a psychic, and they're professionalism, sharing references, you're in charge of your own life, charges, here I can fix anything for a price, inappropriate actions, and connections. And I have stories for all of those. But the reason that that was started is because of something I saw happen in Canada at one of my earlier shows. There was, you know, there are real gypsies and Roma out there. I know several that I trust, but gypsies are easy to fake. You have the headscarf and the jingling jewelry and the long skirt, and you do the bad Russian accent, and you too can be gypsy. So this is what I saw. This fake gypsy rushes out from behind her trade show table and grabs a woman. This is called hooking, and it's as bad as the other kind of hooking. And she says to the woman, you no need to pay $30, $40, $50. I read your palm for 10. Grabs the woman's hand and goes, you have a family curse. How many in your family? 4? You have dog? $50 every family member, $25 for dog. He's small. You come with me. The woman goes into the booth. I see her leave 20 minutes later, hysterically crying. When I talk to her, I find out she's $400 lighter because the fake gypsy had said that if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church, I bless real good, only $1 candle. Her entire family was going to die in a car accident in 2 weeks, and she bought it. That's when I said people need clue bricks upside the head, and they need an education. It's one of the reasons I love doing Empower Radio, because we get the real stuff out there for them. They don't buy, you know, the Madame Hoo-ha stuff. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, it amazes me that that stuff is still going on and there are still people playing that same game. And it makes it very hard for people that are really trying to give people good information and are not shysters, you know, are just they've got a skill and they want to share it with people because it's useful. And then there's the whole scientific superstition that anything that isn't physical couldn't possibly be real. And immediately a suspect. And then there's various religious beliefs that say all of it's bad and wrong. So there's a lot of baggage, a whole lot of baggage, and it's important. It's great that you're doing that class to give people a way of sorting it out, because a lot of it doesn't make any sense.
And, you know, the other thing is, in the class, I get people to laugh, especially when I tell the stories. You know this, the same thing. Both of us, we're funny people. But I fashion my talks on Steve Behrman, the great Swami Beyondananda. You're familiar with him?
Of course, and I have met him.
You know, if I had a guru, the Swami's it. The idea being, if people are laughing, it doesn't negate the information. They drop their shields, the information gets in faster. They're less afraid.
Right.
They're less afraid. So laughter is a wonderful enlightenment tool. It really is.
And if you're confused, you're on the right train. Enlightenment is the mm-hmm. next stop. Yeah, I love
yes.
Steve. His work's amazing.
Yes.
So you kind of made that big shift after 9/11, and you know, what's gone on? How have things changed? What has been attracted into your life?
Well, my 2008 car has 108,000 miles on it, and I had two when I got it in May of 08. That's part of it. I very often will differentiate between having to get up in the morning and getting to get up in the morning. Most people have to get up in the morning. They have a job or their school or whatever, and they're not happy. I get to get up every day and do something that I think is important, help people change their lives, make a difference. In this Bananaville financial roller coaster they've got us on, being an entrepreneur means nobody can ever fire me, because I do have a belief that most of us, we're probably going to have to work until we're 2 weeks dead. So you better enjoy what you're doing, and it better be something of value. The questions have changed. You'll always get some of the romance stuff, but now it's finance, it's business. And so many people are, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know where I'm going. So we talk about that. And it is the whole thing about your sentence of passion, which is vital. And that's something that I want to get into a little bit, but I bet we're probably somewhere around break. My psychic ability says, shut up.
That and the text messages.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, see, we're telling secrets out of school here.
Yeah, we are.
So, yeah, we've got probably a minute and a half to break. After the break, we're going to have people call in if they have questions or comments. And let's give the number. It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. And since you're another person from that weird micro universe around that odd place we grew up, and the number in New Jersey is
really? Remember, we have a Jersey number?
Do you remember all the telethons and they'd give the New York number and then they'd say, and the number in New Jersey is?
Yes. Yeah. If you're not careful, I'm going to give the number for our local NPR pledge drive, because they have albums of people singing it. You don't want to do that.
No, really.
God bless Alan Sharp talking WAMC.
Well, as everyone can tell, Corby keeps me laughing, and hopefully I keep her laughing, and we're making you laugh, and we'll keep doing it for another half an hour, hopefully with your help.
Yes, you got a problem. You got psoriasis. Here, Yiddish. This is our Yiddish 101 tonight. Psoriasis is a real pain. She's giving me such psoriasis. She is such a pain in my handbook. So you got some psoriasis. Want us to solve it? You should call. It's that simple.
And besides, call, we'll have fun. So we'll be back in a few minutes on Empower Radio with the Farkas Files.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
that was a joke.
Oh.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury,
it's
HUD,
a medical
America, and the
a
Ad
doctor's
Council.
Prescription to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't go to the pharmacy, you go to the supermarket for fruits, vegetables, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods. Side effects may include increased energy, healthy weight loss, and lower cholesterol. For a free recipe booklet, call 866-906-WELL or visit cancerproject.org. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barasa, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org. And find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
We're back with Corby yes. Medlight. And this yep. is your chance to call in if you would like to give, you know, ask a question, make a comment, give us a hard time. At your own risk. So that number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Look forward to hearing lots of fascinating questions and comments. And in the meantime, going to have more fun with Corby. So
yep.
One last scene. Where were we?
We were going to start talking about something that I call your sentence of passion. When people come to me and they say, I don't know what to, I say, what do you want? And they say, I don't know. And then they say, you know, I never know. And I can immediately recite their childhood to them. And 80% of the time, I'm right. They're two. There's this white thing and these big shiny things on top. And you reach for it and your mother goes, slap, bad. You're four. There's a plate of cookies. You know that there's more cookie in the big cookie than the little cookie. So you reach for the big cookie and your mother slaps your hand again and says, you're bad and you're selfish. So you're not even going to get the cookie. And I'm going to give it to the person next to you who eats it at you. So that you learn by five. If you want something, you're bad, you're selfish, somebody else will get it, it'll get taken away, and life is awful. So you learn not to want. Your sentence of passion is what you want to leave as your vapor trail. It's not who you are or what you do or even how you do it, but it is how you affect the world. And as long as you're doing that, it doesn't matter if you're a ditch digger, you're in the right place. And my sentence of passion is cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Mm. So if I can help Joe here go from X to Y when he thought he couldn't possibly get there, and I whack him on the shoulder and show him, those are your wings, you can fly without permission, just do it, then I'm doing my job. And I have done it as an actress, an author, an inspirational speaker, an executive recruiter, a video producer, a secretary, and a psychic. If I get to do that, A, I get to get up in the morning, and B, I'm doing what I'm here to do. When people figure that out, all of a sudden a lot of their problems go away because they know how to handle it within their core context. And sometimes it takes an intuitive, because that's the other thing we psychics are, we're intuitives, to help pull that out of them and hold it up and say, is this what you were looking for? But it's always better if they can dig in there with me. They'll own it better at that point. Apparently, we have Frank. Frank, we've lost you. Frank, you're in the ether somewhere. We need you to call back. We really want to talk to you. Now, I don't know if it's my buddy Frank or your buddy Frank. Do you have a Frank in your life, David?
My best friend, brother. We've been best friends since the first day of high school, which is a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, it looks like it's your Frank, not my Frank. So, Frank, call back to all that you should talk.
Frank, you should call back.
We'll hold your seat. It's got a little marker on it, you know, no, we'll sit there. So what else you want to ask me, Dad?
And he can do the same accent, so we'll all be in a lot of trouble.
Ow, 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 ow. Okay, fine.
So, you know, I'm fascinated with all the supposedly non-psychic things you've done. You know, being an actress, all the other wonderful things, and you know, people wonder how that stuff's related, and sometimes those are the best training grounds and playgrounds for learning the stuff that we're going to need for later.
Of course, there are. For instance, Frank is back. All right, Frank, you hold. Let me finish this thought, then you get your buddy, David. If someone is asking me about how to run their business, as an executive recruiter, I counseled people for years. So, yes, I'll still do a tarot throw for them, but I will not just flip a few cards, say, wait until April and fire the redhead. They have a card around them, the energy around the business, the brick and mortar location, how to market it, clients, competition, staff, finances, what they need to know, and best possible outcome. All this chewy information. Now go run your business. Go make it good. All right, Frank, I'm done. Talk to David.
Frank, you there?
I don't want to talk to David. I get to talk to David all the time. I want to talk to you.
I like that. So talk.
So Corby, do you ever, when you're doing readings for people, do you ever get an crap moment where you find out something you really don't want to share with them or just totally blows you away? And how do you handle it if you do?
Well, the thing that I don't do is I specifically don't tell people if I see like a disease or something. It's not my place because too many people take that and get scared with it. The most I will do is say, you know, go see your doctor. The one time that I shared with someone, I'm seeing something around lungs around your husband, go get it checked. It turned out that he was getting the very first symptoms of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and they were right there because they went and saw the doctor right away. They had 4 good years before he died. But it doesn't always happen like that, and you never, ever, ever, ever predict a death. Number one, it's illegal in too many states. Number two, death is between the person and God. My understanding is we don't have one exit door. We have four or five. And as you come up to it, your soul chooses, am I leaving now or not? So if I said to Mrs. McGillicuddy, I see your mother dying in a year from whatever she's got. Number one, that starts to tell Sue McGillicuddy, mom's on her final track. She starts putting it out there. Thoughts are things. That doesn't help her mother. So what I tell people is, look, we all have an expiring warranty. Nobody's warranty goes forever. If the parent looks really sick, I will tell them, all you need to do is this. Every time you see them, make sure nothing is left unsaid. So that if you leave and they die that night, it's all good. That is the most that I will do. And I kind of have the agreement with my guides. I don't want to see the death. It's not my business. If I can see a way to help the family have some closure around it, that's another thing. Does that help some?
Absolutely. I was just, I have been trained to do readings and I don't do them. And the reason is, when I was a youth of, I don't know, 40 years old, I did two I Ching readings for my Tai Chi teacher who was taking a trip to, I think he was going to Taos. Where'd he go to? Mm-hmm. He was going to one of those places where you're supposed to find yourself. Now, personally, I never went there, so how could I possibly have lost myself there? But, you know, he was in one of those places, Arizona, someplace. And they were both so frighteningly accurate that it just scared the whiz out of me. And so I don't do them anymore. Because
why did it scare you? Because it was accurate.
Yes, because it was absolutely accurate, but it was open to so, you know, that the actuality of what the reading meant could be interpreted in so many different ways. And I had the facts exactly right, but what I would have said about them could have been a million light years away from the reality.
That's your ego talking.
But that was what happened.
Listen.
Yes.
But what I'm telling you is if you're that good, people need you. We all on the show circuit have disclaimers. We're giving you this information, but it is totally in your ability to change it, make it what you want. Your life is in your control. The only reason that I can read 55 people in 4 days plus do two lectures is because I keep my ego totally out of it. What comes out of my mouth, I'm trusting. Okay, boss, I'm doing your work. Make sure that I do it right. And then as soon as John gets up and Mary sits down, I do a core dump. I will not remember that first reading so I don't get them mixed up. We aren't, even the best of us, are only 85% accurate, Frank. The only one 100% is God, and he's not doing psychic fairs this year. Do your best, and you know you're good, but leave it to your client to figure out the nuance. Otherwise, yeah, you're a Swami Swamananda. But don't fault yourself because you're good. Try it again.
So give them the facts and let them do the interpretation rather than doing any interpretation myself.
Unless they ask you. Unless they ask you. I tend not to give absolutes. If you notice, I said, here are the opportunities. Here are your challenges. Now go rock and roll. If someone says, should I leave my husband? I'm going to say, it's not mine, not my business, but I'll give them options. This is what happens if it's status quo. This is what happens if you have a come to Jesus meeting and you guys go to counseling. This is what you do if it's hostile or bye-bye. Okay? But she's going to have to make up the decision. Otherwise, people will come to you all the time for readings. People say, how often should I have a reading? That's a very subjective thing. If I do a reading for you, and in 2 weeks you come back to me and say, I worked on everything that we talked about, now I'm here, let's see what else we see. I am happy to do a reading for you. But if you come back to me once a year with the same questions, and I tell you almost the same thing, and you clearly are not doing your work, I'll be like a good bartender and cut you off, because you're wasting my time and your money. So that's the other thing. If you're giving these people that good stuff, Trust that they're mature enough to handle it. But if they come back and they haven't grown, ask yourself, do you want to read them again? If they say, it's your fault and you told me, point to the disclaimer sign. One of the things that I always do is I give them a CD recording of their session with me, because they'll never remember everything in there. If they're taking notes, they're not listening. And when people listen to these things over and over again, they'll get more nuance. They'll see it from different perspectives. So you might try that.
Oh, that would be a good tool. Yeah, that would make be a good tool also.
Yeah, because that way, if they say, well, you said blah, 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 but you didn't, it's right there. And here, an example, there was a woman that I read in Kitchener, Ontario. I go up there 3 times a year. First weekend in January, Victoria Day and Labor Day. And I saw some challenging stuff for this woman. And I told her, and she gets up from my table and she goes, you suck. She walks away. Bye. Well, who's the first person in my chair when I come back in January? This woman. So she sits down and she says, last time I said you sucked. I said, yes, I remember. Because last time you told me I was going to have to take in a boarder, and then I was going to have to sell my house. And I thought that was all bull. But then my daughter got pregnant and had to move back in. And now I have to sell my house to raise my grandson. And I still don't like you, but I want to know what else you see. Don't shoot the messenger. That was a case where I gave her what I saw. And it turned out to be correct, but in an interpretation that had to happen to her for her to understand it. We can't give them everything on a plate with a garnish.
Okay. Thanks, Corby.
I've stunned into silence. You're welcome. Anytime.
Talk to you later, David.
Later, dude.
Bye.
So you weighing in on this one, Dr. Dave?
Well, obviously I know Frank and I've known Frank for a very long time, and I had not heard the story about doing the readings, but none of this surprises me. He's got skills and abilities, you know, I'm now hearing Superman far beyond those of mortal men. but, you know, he has a lot more going on than he gives himself credit for, and he funnels his energy into certain modalities that up until now has been what he's been comfortable with. And I'm glad he's asking those questions, because there's a lot more that he could be doing. So it's a very good sign. You're doing really good now. Terrific, Frankie. Why don't we give the numbers again for people to call in? It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474.
Yeah, any of my kids over there pulled over from my show, call. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Talk to Uncle David if you don't want to talk to Auntie Corby. It's all right. I will share my abilities with my friends. So, anybody out there?
We're getting yoo-hoo. Echoes.
All right. Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm getting a message from one of my people. No, see, that's one of the advantages. I always stay on Facebook and I watch. Okay, they want the number again. Give them the number, Dr. Dave.
I give it really slowly. 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. So call us already.
Yeah, I know. We should talk. So trying to think what else. You know, one of the things I tell people is there are 7 billion people in the world now, and it's getting bigger. Trust me, we can't read anyone. There's room for you, too. So we really would like for you to be able to do what we do. It's one of the reasons we teach what we do. There are a lot of people who do, you know, psychic development courses or animal communication, like my buddy Coriel, whatever it is. But one of the things that we were required to do to become a certified professional tarot reader is we had to write a code of ethics. We had to learn how to teach someone to ask the empowering questions, when to say no, what is inappropriate. There's something that I call remote spying. John and Mary are dating. John may ask me about Mary, and Mary may ask me about John. No problem. John and Mary break up, and Mary starts dating Buddy. John cannot ask me if Mary is sleeping with Buddy because Buddy did not ask to be read.
Right.
So it's when people come to us for readings, I mean, there are some people that we simply don't connect with. And it's one of the things I teach people. If you're sitting down with a psychic and the first words out of her mouth are, you know, of your six children, it's your oldest who's going to take care of you in your old age and you're postmenopausal and childless, she's probably not connected. At that point, you have a right to say, excuse me, Madam Hoo-ha, but everything you're saying to me is factually incorrect. Could I have my money back, please? We're just not connecting. Please be polite. But we have a right to refuse you. There was a woman who sat down with me in Hamilton. Most of my good stories are Canada. And said, I want to know where my husband is sleeping with his mistress. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying. She goes, oh. Well, is he sick? Is he going to die soon? And I look at my front person and I say, Laura, I don't think that I'm connecting with Mrs. Cooperson. Could she have her money back, please? And I did not tell her who else to see. No, that's simply inappropriate questions. And we won't do it. Nor, if you're a reader, should you have to. Saying no is a fabulous idea. Draw your boundaries. If someone asks you to do something you're not comfortable with, don't do it. You won't regret not doing it.
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, for me, a lot of that is being asked the kinds of questions that a reader would be asked. And because of the kind of work I do and to avoid being put in that situation, I basically don't read. It's not that I don't get downloads that are helpful sometimes, but my focus is on clearing whatever the issue is, mitigating a problem, not giving information. And I just had a client say, well, what's going to happen with this and what's going to happen with that? And can blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you know, it's not what I do. And we have somebody who would like to talk to us. Sue from Ithaca. Hello.
Yes, that would be me. And yes, well, I was the one who has no pen and had to type the number into Facebook so that I didn't lose it.
Well, very clever.
I don't really have much in the way of questions, kind of validating things that Corby has said to me and done for me. And she she talks about the spiritual 4x4.
You know, oh, yeah.
She is my...
There we are.
I've had several times.
So she uses a 4x4, not a 2x4. Okay.
Well, what? Me, you're telling
me,
tales?
I need the 4x4. She becomes what she needs to be in order to help me, at least, figure out where to go. I'm actually sitting here listening to your show, making something that she has said to me in the past. Yeah, just go for it. Just do it. Don't question it. What other things besides... I'm intrigued with the ghost thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been places where I felt a little, ooh, what's here, but haven't necessarily known how to, you know, feel out that sensation. Do you have any suggestions on how to do that?
Well, everybody's got a different level of sensitivity in general. So, you know, people think of psychic and they think of the glitzy stuff where somebody can see or hear things and think that's what being psychic is about. But most people feel things in their body. It's called psychokinesis. The other thing is things just dropping into your head, claircognizance and clairsentience. So, you know, how do you get your information? As you learn how the information comes in for you, you'll be able to start asking questions that can be answered in the way that you get it. So do you feel it in your body? If you feel it in your body, what question can you ask that has a simple yes or no answer to clarify what's going on? Is there somebody here? You know, and you'll learn if you feel it in your body what that sensation of yes and no feels like. Or you'll, you know, if you hear it in your head. Most people never really see anything, or they'll know something is there and where it is, but they won't be able to tune it in. A lot of people have to close their eyes to tune in. It's a matter of learning it. That's what a psychic skills class hopefully would sort out for you. But it's a conversation. The other thing is, if a ghost is trying to make contact with you, and that seems really obvious in the situation, you can ask them to communicate in some way. And sometimes that is making a knocking noise, you know, hearing a knock in the wall or something else, and go, oh, okay. You can do that. Can you give me one for yes? And they'll go, knock. Can you give me two for no? Knock, knock. Now you've got a way to talk to them.
Okay.
So it may be fine-tuning your own ability to tune in, but it's also fine-tuning a way to communicate with them. To me, the communication is always the same. I know you're there. You're okay. Do you know you're dead? Do you want help crossing over? Because the rest of it is just, in a lot of ways, gossip. You know, it's like, well, yeah, who are you? What have you done? You know, how did you wind up stuck here? All that stuff. It's like, yeah, that's all interesting. But for me, my work is getting them to the light so they can sort things out for themselves. That help?
It does, very much so.
Yeah, the other thing is a lot of people who are just starting to get their information are empaths. You're feeling the emotions of possibly the ghost, but the people around you in your body. And for people that are getting that kind of information, it can be overwhelming because you can't process someone else's emotions, but you think they're yours. Mm-hmm. And if you have a suspicion that that's what's going on for you, always ask, is this mine? When some weird thing shows up, you know, is this mine or is this someone else's? Then you can ask whose it is. But don't assume just because you have a thought or a feeling that it's yours.
Okay. There have actually been times when I've gotten headaches or aches in my body. I'm like, where did that come from? Usually it's not me, and I do stop and I do say, is this fine? Because I have no idea where that just came from.
Right. And frequently it's not. You know, if you're developing more sensitivity and you're tuning into it, you'll pick up stuff from entities, from other people, from the other parts of the planet. You know, I had a friend who used to pick up every earthquake where children were hurt.
Oh, wow.
Took her a while to figure it out. You know, and I finally, she'd call me and I'd say, have you looked on CNN.com? Something happened somewhere in the world. Find out what. She'd go, oh, yeah, there was a landslide in Indonesia. Yeah. That was one of the things that she would tune into, and it took her quite a while to figure that out. So, hope that's helpful.
It is. It is very much so. And you have a new listener, by the way.
Thank you. Glad to have you there.
You can blame
it on
Corby. That's
what we were doing this for. Hey, that's what we were doing this for, darling girl.
And so. To have great fun. So,
oh, yeah.
So we only have a couple of minutes to the end, and I want to make sure that people know how to contact Corby for your work. How do people find you?
Very simple. I've got a website, firethrough, THROUGH, spirit.com. There's also a place there where you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. It's got my calendar because I'm traveling constantly. And yes, I read over the phone. I have clients in Bolivia. Trust me, they don't want to come to upstate New York. And you can reach me by calling 877-321-4255. Corby. That's 877-321-2769, I think. Whatever. Call Corby. Yeah. And that'll do it. I'm not as good with numbers, which is why I used a name. You know, simple.
I know the feeling. Thank you so much for being on the show. This has been so much fun.
It really has. And guys, if you want us to do a buddy show, write to Empower Readings. Say, this is the best thing my ears have ever experienced. They have to do this together forever. And as they say, they'll take it under advisement.
Exactly. And if people want to get a hold of me, you can go to househealing.com and go to the contact link where cleverly I have hidden all my contact information.
There you go. So right, again, so, sometime soon, please, David.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of options because we could do a buddy show on topics and invite all the other people we know that are conversant in that particular topic and have a round robin kind of thing. Could be a lot of fun.
I've got
a bunch of ideas. So until next time, this is David Franklin Farkas here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Thanks so much, Corby. This has been great fun.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.